Here we go.
I would like to be known as the Big Aristotle.
And I'm determined to bring a championship to Minnesota.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me?
Oh, ho, ho! Up high, down hard! Yeah! In your life have you seen anything like that?
I can't believe you're a golfer. I think you should be working at the snack bar.
Baby, don't you ever touch my puck! How do you like that?
We're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
Oh, we're live.
I didn't know that.
They aren't who we thought they were. And we left them off the hook.
Good afternoon. Welcome into the final edition of The Scoop for 2017. Yes, we're taking a big break between now and the end of the year, but hey, we'll have some new things up our sleeve coming down the pipe in 2018. So just listen back to previous episodes if you missed out on anything here throughout the year. We will kind of preview what we've got coming up here between now and the end of the year throughout the sporting world with What's on Deck coming later today. We're going to talk Timberwolves basketball with Dan Slabaugh in the back half of the show, and we'll also take a look at the Redwood Valley Pick'em League results and get those ready to go for a big week. I had a massive week with the picks, but was only able to gain a little bit of ground. So we'll talk about that coming up here today as well. But let's get right to it. We'll start off by taking a look at our top sports headlines here for today. And taking a look at our top sports headlines for today, a rough morning for Green Bay Packer fans, I'm sure, as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers trying to send the game to overtime against the Atlanta Falcons. They line up for a field goal with time winding down, and that field goal is missed. And just like that, the Green Bay Packers' playoff chances are toast as the Falcons win last night by a score of 24-21. So for Green Bay, the next question becomes, do they decide to play Aaron Rodgers with the Vikings coming to town on Saturday? And I'm here to tell you that really doesn't matter. If he plays or not, the Vikings are going to go in and lay the smackdown on the Packers. I think they'll win big regardless. It may just be a question of whether or not Green Bay gets any touchdowns out of it. So we'll see how that plays out heading into the game on Saturday, but Green Bay will not be a playoff team here for the first time since 2010. The Minnesota Timberwolves taking on the Portland Trail Blazers last night. Timberwolves trailed late in this game, but a couple of veterans send the team to an emphatic win, 108-107. Jamal Crawford and Jimmy Butler take over in the fourth quarter, and the Wolves pick up a win against a division rival. They improve their record to 18-13 and now have a very interesting slate coming up here running to the end of the year. Gopher men's basketball back in action after a bit of a layoff. They will play tomorrow against Oral Roberts, trying to get to 10-3 on the season. Gopher football has their first national signing day tomorrow, so we'll see a lot of highly touted recruits sign on the dotted line for the Gophers tomorrow. And the Minnesota Wild, after losing two straight over the weekend, they will try to get back on track against Ottawa tonight. We'll see if the Wilds can do that, sitting at 17, 13, and 3 as they sit currently. So there you have it. That is a look at your top sports headlines here for today. We're going to take a quick break. We will take a look at the Redwood Valley Pick'em League results. That is coming up after this.
You're listening to The Scoop.
You hit that guy.
He shouldn't have been standing there.
On KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Catch The Scoop Monday through Friday from 3 to 4 p.m. on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9.
Back here on The Scoop, some breaking news to get to before we take a look at the picks. According to multiple sources on Twitter, the Green Bay Packers have placed quarterback Aaron Rodgers on season-ending injured reserve. So any thought of Rodgers spoiling the Vikings' season with a win at Lambeau Field can be neatly and quietly tucked away, as it'll be Brett Hundley under center for the Packers on Saturday. And, well, we saw how that turned out the first time. Spoiler alert, not well for the Packers. So it'll be the Brett Hundley-led Green Bay Packers on Saturday against the Minnesota Vikings defense. That makes my 41-0 prediction seem a little bit more substantial, so I'm going to stick with it. Let's take a look at the Pick'em League results. And yours truly still with the top spot, 155 and 69. Bob Wesley is now four back at 144 and 73. Then it's Coach Cadet with 139 and 85. Mr. Steve, 113 and 111. So let's take a look at the picks from this past week. To start off, we'll go to the Week 15 schedule, and a dominant week for me, for everybody pretty much. The only game I got wrong was that Tennessee-San Francisco game. 15-1 with the picks. Bob was 14-2. Coach Cadet was 12-4. So let's go through the games, see how things turned out. Denver taking on Indianapolis. That was the first game on the schedule. Denver was favored by 2.5, and they ended up winning by a score of 25-13, so they certainly cover that spread on Thursday. Then to Saturday's games, everybody had that one right, by the way. Denver over Indianapolis. Detroit and Chicago. Detroit favored by 5.5 over the Bears. They end up winning by a score of 20-10. Everybody had that game as well. Kansas City over the Chargers. Chargers favored in this by 1 point. Kansas City ended up winning 30-13. Coach Cadet had the Chargers. Me and Bob had the Chiefs. Buffalo and Miami. This was a pick'em game. And Buffalo ended up winning 24-16. Coach Cadet, again, the only one that had Miami. Everybody else had Buffalo. So a 4-0 start right there. Baltimore taking on Cleveland. Baltimore favored by 7.5. Baltimore wins 27-10, so no problem for the Ravens covering that spread. Everybody had Baltimore. So 5-0 at that point. Vikings and Bengals. Vikings 12-point favorites, and they win 34-7. So they have no problem covering the spread. And everybody had Minnesota, so 6-0. Let's keep it rolling. The New Orleans Saints taking on the New York Jets. New Orleans favored by 17. They end up winning by 12, 31-19. So always a lesson there. If you see such a wide point total, usually good to take the other team to cover, as 17 points is tremendous. And nonetheless, the Saints get the win. Everybody picked the Saints, so we will move on. The Philadelphia Eagles, 9-point favorites over the New York Giants. They win by 5, 34-29. Everybody had Philadelphia. So we, at this point, are 8-0. On to Washington, Arizona. Redskins favored by 4.5. Redskins win by 5. So 9-0 at that point. Carolina and Green Bay. Carolina favored by 6. They win by 7, 31-24. In fact, second straight game they've won by a score of 31-24. And everybody had Carolina there. So just two incorrect picks so far, both for Benton. But everybody else is rolling so far. Jacksonville and Houston. Jacksonville favored by 12. They end up winning 45-7. So safe to say they covered that spread. Everybody had Jacksonville. So still undefeated. 11-0. On the picks. You know you're doing something right when you have to count to see where you're at in terms of wins. On to the Los Angeles Rams taking on Seattle. This is where I made a little ground. Seattle favored by 1 point. Rams end up demolishing the Seahawks 42-7. And myself and Coach Cadet had Seattle. Had the Rams, rather. Bob Wesley had Seattle, so that is another one for me. 12-0. New England and Pittsburgh. New England favored by 3, thanks to a interpretation of a rule that I think it's safe to say nobody likes. We talked about that earlier this week. Safe to say that that rule is not popular, but nonetheless, New England does cover the spread. They win 27-24. Bob again had Pittsburgh in that game, so I gain a little ground. Coach Cadet also had New England. Tennessee, San Francisco. San Francisco favored by 1. They end up winning on a game-winning field goal as time expires, 25-23. Bob, the only one that had that correct. Both me and Coach Cadet had Tennessee. The only game I got wrong the entire weekend. Thanks a lot, Tennessee. Dallas taking on Oakland. Dallas 3-point favorites over the Raiders. And that's the margin of victory, 20-17. Dallas gets the win. Coach Cadet had Oakland. And then Atlanta, Tampa Bay. Atlanta favored by 6. They win by 3, 24-21. I had Atlanta. Everybody had Atlanta. So 15-1 with the picks this week. So a great week, but again, just the one game made up in the standings. So a 4-point lead. Now time to take a look at the games for this week. Baltimore hosting Indianapolis. This is a Saturday game at 3:30. Baltimore picked in 98% of the pick distribution. And I will add to that, Baltimore will win over Indianapolis, no problem. Green Bay hosting Minnesota, and Green Bay is favored at this point. I would expect that that will change mightily with today's news. I'm going to pick Minnesota to win, no problem in that game. Chicago hosting Cleveland. Chicago looked better, has looked better, despite the loss. They looked a little bit better than Cleveland, so I guess I'm going to go with Chicago to win that game at home. Detroit and Cincinnati. Cincinnati hosting, but Cincinnati has pretty much quit, so I'll pick Detroit to win there. Los Angeles Rams taking on the Tennessee Titans. Tennessee coming off a tough loss to San Francisco. Rams are rolling right now. I think they keep that going with a win on the road against the Titans. Kansas City hosting Miami. Kansas City heavily favored, 96% pick distribution here, and I'll pick Kansas City because the game is at home for the Chiefs. If it were on the road, I maybe would give Miami a little bit more consideration, but I'll go with the Chiefs there. New England hosting Buffalo. New England coming off of a awesome win over the Pittsburgh Steelers, although, like I said, some controversy at the end of that game. I am going to pick New England to win this game fairly easily. I think it'll be something like 45-7, so I'll pick New England there. Los Angeles Chargers on the road against the New York Jets. Chargers will continue their role. They'll bounce back after a tough loss to the Chiefs. I think they beat the Jets in that game. Washington hosting Denver. Denver is in a rough spot. After winning Indianapolis, they still have a lot of questions. I think Washington gets the win there at home. Carolina hosting Tampa Bay. Carolina will win that game, no problem. Jacksonville on the road taking on San Francisco. Now, Jacksonville is due for one of those kind of letdown games. Question, though, is I don't think it comes here. I'll pick Jacksonville to win that game. Maybe the toughest pick of the weekend. Dallas hosting Seattle. Does Seattle rally after a brutal performance against the Los Angeles Rams? Dallas is the favorite, and I am going to go against Seattle in this one, although I don't feel great about it. Dallas is favored in the pick distribution 71-29, so we'll see what happens there. Arizona hosting the New York Giants. I think Arizona gets the win there. Pittsburgh on the road against Houston. Pittsburgh is going to be pretty steamed after that loss to New England. And I think the Steelers win big in that game. Philadelphia hosting Oakland. The Raiders losing in close fashion to the Eagles, to the Cowboys. The Eagles suddenly look beatable. I don't think the Eagles will have enough here to lose. So I'm going to pick Philadelphia to beat the Raiders on Monday Night Football. So there you have it. Baltimore, Minnesota, Chicago, Detroit, the Rams, Kansas City, New England, New Orleans, the Chiefs, Washington, Carolina, Jacksonville, Dallas, Arizona, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia. Those are the picks for this week. We'll see how things turned out when we come back in 2018. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll take a look at what's on deck. That's coming up after this.
You're listening to The Scoop.
Whoa, I don't play defense.
On KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9 is radio you can depend on for sports and play-by-play.
Lots to get to here to finish off 2017. Let's take a look at what's on deck. Looking at the schedule for the NFL this week, Indianapolis at Baltimore on Saturday at 3:30. Minnesota Vikings at Green Bay at 7:30 on NBC. Sunday's games at noon, Cleveland at Chicago, Detroit at Cincinnati, Los Angeles Rams at Tennessee, Miami at Kansas City, Buffalo at New England, Atlanta at New Orleans, Los Angeles Chargers at New York, Denver at Washington, Tampa Bay at Carolina. Jacksonville is at San Francisco at 3:05, Seattle at Dallas at 3:25, the New York Giants at Arizona at 3:25 on Sunday. Monday night, Pittsburgh at Houston, Oakland at Philadelphia. Pittsburgh at Houston at 3:30, Oakland at Philadelphia at 7:30. Quickly taking a look to week 17. All noon games on Sunday, or these noon games rather, Carolina at Atlanta, Green Bay at Detroit, Jacksonville at Tennessee, Houston at Indianapolis, Buffalo at Miami, Chicago Bears at the Minnesota Vikings, the New York Jets at New England, Washington at the New York Giants, Dallas at Philadelphia, Cleveland at Pittsburgh, New Orleans at Tampa Bay, Cincinnati at Baltimore, 3:25, Kansas City at Denver, San Francisco at the Los Angeles Rams, Oakland at the Los Angeles Chargers,
Arizona at Seattle. Those are all 3:25 games. To the NBA, we'll look at tonight's, then we'll take a look at what's coming up for the Wolves the rest of the year. Games tonight, Sacramento at Philadelphia at 6 Central Time. New Orleans at Washington at 6 o'clock Central. Cleveland at Milwaukee at 7 o'clock Central Time. For the Minnesota Timberwolves, their schedule the rest of the year, they will take on Denver tomorrow night at 9 o'clock Eastern. Saturday, Phoenix at 9 o'clock Eastern. Monday, Christmas Day at Los Angeles at 10:30 Eastern Time on TNT. Wednesday, the 27th, home against Denver at 8 o'clock Eastern. Thursday, the 28th, at Milwaukee at 8 Eastern. And Sunday, December 31st, at Indiana at 5 o'clock Eastern Time. Monday, New Year's Day, home against the Los Angeles Lakers at 8 o'clock Eastern. Over to the NHL, taking a look at the schedule of games today. One game in progress, Carolina at Toronto, Detroit at the New York Islanders tonight at 7 Eastern, Anaheim at the New York Rangers at 7 Eastern, Minnesota Wild at Ottawa at 7 Eastern, Boston at Buffalo at 7:30 Eastern, Winnipeg at Nashville at 8 Eastern, Washington at Dallas at 8:30 Eastern, Florida at Arizona at 9 Eastern, Montreal at Vancouver at 10 Eastern, Tampa Bay at the Vegas Golden Knights at 10 Eastern. The Minnesota Wild, the rest of the year, have this as a schedule. They play tonight, then Friday at Florida, Saturday at Tampa Bay, Wednesday the 27th, home against Dallas, Friday the 29th, home against Nashville, Saturday the 30th at Nashville, and then Tuesday, January 2nd, home against Florida. And men's college basketball, Big Ten schedule for this evening. The Citadel at Ohio State at 6 o'clock Central Time. Binghamton at Penn State at 6 o'clock Central Time. Lewis at Northwestern at 7 Central Time. Southern Utah at Iowa at 8 o'clock Central Time. Thursday, the Gophers host Oral Roberts at 7 o'clock Central Time. Rest of the year, they play FAU at home on the 23rd. Then they play Harvard. Yes, that Harvard at on December 30th at 1 p.m. And then January 3rd, home against Illinois. That is a look at what's on deck here for tonight. We'll talk some Timberwolves basketball with Dan Slabaugh. That's coming up after this.
You're listening to The Scoop.
I'm sorry, Smokey. You're over the line. That's a foul.
On KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Your home for Redwood Valley Cardinal Athletics all season long. KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9.
Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, wanna let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things and wanna leave my old life behind.
And on our final show of 2017, it's fitting that we would wrap up the year by talking some Timberwolves basketball. Not a Friday segment, but a Tuesday segment today. We're joined by Dan Slabaugh on the prowl. Dan, it feels weird to be saying happy Friday, but it's Friday for me, so we'll go with it. Happy Tuesday.
That's awesome, Seth. I only have a week left until I get a head home to Bismarck, North Dakota for a winter break, so really looking forward to it. Right now, just hanging in Fargo, working, and mixing paint at Sherwin-Williams paint store. So the dream is, it's not a dream job, but it definitely pays the bills. And when you're in college, you know, you gotta do what you can to get things done. So yeah, I'm looking forward to going home for Christmas break, and obviously feeling good after our Wolves win last night.
Yeah, it was a good win for the Wolves against the Blazers last night. We'll talk about that in a little bit. We do, however, have to talk about what happened on Saturday as the Timberwolves taken on the Phoenix Suns. And the Wolves had a large lead in this one that evaporated because everybody on the bench for the Suns could not stop hitting big shots. And it just became too much for the Wolves to overcome. They end up losing 108-106. So, Dan, let's start there. What went wrong for the Timberwolves on Saturday?
Well, the turnovers turned the ball over pretty almost once per minute in the first half, and the Wolves went into the halftime locker room with a lead under 10 points. They did not take advantage of that, and then in the second half, Phoenix turned it up a little bit. The Wolves weren't defending the three-point shot. They were playing poor defense. They were tired. Taj Gibson and Karl-Anthony Towns played, or Taj Gibson and Jimmy Butler played 40 minutes apiece, and it was one of the worst losses of the season. That's for sure. They had no business. The Phoenix had no business winning that game with the amount of turnovers they had. It was just an awful loss for the Wolves. Karl-Anthony Towns 20-11. He had a great night, but overall defense was poor. They shot themselves in the foot, and they actually had a 4-point lead going into the fourth. But then Phoenix, went on a 22-11 run in the fourth quarter. They did not close out quarters well, and the Wolves were also out rebounded 52-31, which it's definitely a big margin. But in another sense, you look at how many turnovers the Suns had, split that in half, and you add 10 more rebounds, Minnesota's number. So the rebounding looks pretty bad on Saturday night. But with how much Phoenix turned over the ball, the Wolves didn't really have many chances to rebound the ball defensively. So that is a big skew, so I wasn't too worried about that. Overall, a takeaway from the game is that Jimmy Butler, it's a great thing for Wolf fans that he's okay, because he was grabbing his back and he was grimacing a little bit during the fourth quarter of the Phoenix game. We saw him get that steal with about under two minutes left. Versus Phoenix, the steal and slam. And right as he stole the ball away, you could see him grimace, and he looked uncomfortable. But he's a fighter. In my opinion, he shouldn't have been on the court. That's how players get injured. But, he's a fighter, and he's pretty much everything the Wolves need and want and what they traded for. So Jimmy Butler is just a phenomenal player. A tough night in Minneapolis, and I was at the game, and it was a pretty tremendous atmosphere, and that it was such a bummer that the fans packed the arena and the Wolves couldn't give them a win versus a awful Suns team. Tickets aren't cheap, so that's just always disappointing, knowing the Wolves can't please their fans versus a low tier team. But they took care of business last night, that's for sure.
Yeah, you mentioned the game Saturday, the atmosphere. It was the first time we've seen the statement jerseys, the lime green or neon green, whatever you want to call it. And, Dan, I know we were talking just a little bit in kind of reacting to that game. The atmosphere, like you said, it was a playoff atmosphere. They went with a green out, which I think is fantastic. What did you think of the new uniforms up close and personal?
I love them. They are going to be one of the NBA's most popular uniforms once the Wolves, if and once the Wolves become a premier team in the NBA. They were fantastic, and Target Center looked awesome in person, and I'm sure it looked great on TV. And I kind of hinted at the fact that the Wolves should do a neon out back in September. I looked at a couple pictures of the Baylor men's basketball arena, and they went neon out for one of their games. And I couldn't overstate how much I liked the look of the arena. It just looked bright. I just liked the look of it, and the Wolves did just that on Saturday night. It looked absolutely phenomenal. I was impressed.
Nice. Yeah. If you have elements like that, you have to take advantage in playoff scenarios and try to make the other team as uncomfortable as possible. And those jerseys, you pair that with some t-shirts for fans, and I think you got a real problematic atmosphere for opposing teams to come into. And for the Portland Trailblazers, Damian Lillard coming to town, it looked like it was going to be a tough matchup for the Wolves to try to contend with him, one of the top defensive teams in the league, which was a little bit of a surprise. But nonetheless, the Wolves able to come back from a early deficit, and they end up winning the game over the Trailblazers. Final score was 108-107. Dan, what did you see from the Wolves in the bounce-back effort against Portland last night?
Jimmy Butler does not need a back because he has everybody else's back. So that was the main takeaway. He was just phenomenal. He picked them up, and he carried them on his alien back. He scored 37 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. He was just absolutely phenomenal. And, you know, he obviously closed up the game with a pair of free throws to give the Wolves the lead with 2.5 seconds left. Jamal Crawford was absolutely fantastic, 23 points, which is a season high from 16 in the fourth quarter. They completed the third comeback win this season from a double-digit deficit. And, you know, Crawford and Butler were just huge for with 21 fourth-quarter points. It was a great win, and it was kind of an odd day as far as it seems like the Wolves always bounce back with the win after a horrible loss. It's just kind of been a trend this year, and I'm not sure why that is, but, you know, that they're 10-3 following a loss this season, so I guess it makes sense. It's just odd because it's just been a roller coaster of a season. Obviously, after Saturday night's loss to Phoenix, tons of questions and a pretty angry and irritated fan base. And after last night's game, there's still a good amount of questions. The team probably is making it a lot harder on themselves, you know, to win basketball games, but they're getting it done, which it's obviously a great thing. It's just different because this team has expectations and teams in the past have not, which probably actually makes them a little more enjoyable to watch because you're not going into the game having all these big expectations and getting let down. You're more hopeful, and now you're, you know, it's expected, which is obviously it's a good thing that it's expected. It's been far too long for, you know, the franchise to field a competitive team, and they have been. But the main thing the Wolves are lacking is, you know, good consistent defense night in and night out, good spacing on offense, and obviously the minute distribution from Thibs, everybody is worried that it's going to catch up to them in a big way, you know, in a few months. And, you know, I think Wolf fans just have to pray and hope that no game, no important vital game goes into overtime, because we saw in Philadelphia versus Philadelphia at home, the Wolves had no gas left. So those three are kind of the main things the Wolves are lacking for long-term success. But, you know, a win like that last night, it gives you hope that the team is, or can compete with, you know, with good teams. And we've seen that this season. They've beat good teams. And obviously they're holding down the four spot right now by 1.5 games. So they're doing something right. It's just a roller coaster of a season. They've split. They've won and lost. They've split the two games probably, you know, at least 6 times this season. It went back and forth and went back and forth. So it's been it's been a weird season, that's sure. And I guess it would be weird if it wasn't weird with the Wolves.
Yeah, it's Minnesota sports, so if everything goes according to plan, I mean, just look at the Vikings right now. It's like the way that they've been playing, and pretty much all Vikings Twitter is just like, I don't know how to react to this. So it's like if anything goes just normally with Minnesota sports, you feel like something's about to go wrong. So We'll take it in what has been a wacky Western Conference so far this year, and I'm guessing that that is not going to stop anytime soon. Dan, as I mentioned at the beginning of the segment, this is the final show of the year, so there obviously are plenty of games going on between now and the start of 2018. So why don't we take a look at a couple of them. First off, for the Timberwolves is a chance to see a new team, a team that they haven't seen yet this year, that being the Denver Nuggets, and that'll come up tomorrow night. So why don't we take a look at that game? We'll also take a look at the Christmas Day matchup against the Lakers, but let's start with that matchup against the Nuggets, another team who is in the thick of the Western Conference playoff race.
Yeah, Denver. So they're a pretty fun team to watch. They have a great offense and a plethora of players who can score and pass the ball well. Jokic is a superstar in the making. He's either creating him for himself or for others. And wild bigs like Jokic, Mason Plumlee, with ball movement should not be an issue with those guys or with the entire offense, because those guys can pass the ball extremely well. And then they have promising backcourt with Jamal Murray and Gary Harris. The weakness is they don't feel a great defensive squad. Paul Millsap was supposed to help with that in a large way, but then he got injured. You said they sit six, so they're playing to expectations. They're playing to expectations as the sixth seed. They're a team who, you look at the top seven, or the top eight teams of the Western Conference: Rockets, Warriors, Spurs, Timberwolves, Trailblazers, Nuggets, Pelicans, and Thunder. And it's just my opinion, but I actually think the Nuggets are probably the one team out of those eight that, could potentially fall out of the top eight teams. They're a solid team, but, the top eight teams, top nine teams, they looks pretty set in stone. And I think Denver is playing well, but overall, it's been a rocky start for them as well. Trey Lyles has been solid. Gary Harris has been solid. They're going to need Paul Millsap back, soon. He underwent surgery in late September to repair a torn ligament in his left wrist. Until Millsap is able to, engage in on-court activity again, the Nuggets aren't likely probably to pinpoint a target for his return. But overall, it's always a fun match when the Wolves and the Nuggets get together, as just as it is when the Wolves and Blazers get together, which we saw last night. Northwest Division matchups are always fun, and this should be another fun one in Denver.
Then looking to Christmas Day, a chance to take on LeVar Ball and the Los Angeles Lakers. Oh, wait, LeVar is the dad. Lonzo's the one that actually plays for the Lakers. And for Los Angeles, not the best of seasons for them. They come in 10-18, but they've won some games. They got some good players, and despite all the struggles, Lonzo still has some other things that he brings to the table. But the most important part of this is being able to watch the Wolves play on Christmas Day, which is something that is usually reserved for just the top teams pretty much, and the Wolves haven't really had the chance. But now this year we get the chance to see Wolves-Lakers on Christmas Day. Dan, give us a little scouting report.
Well, it'll should be a Merry Christmas to Wolves fans. The Wolves should handle the Lakers on Christmas, night of Christmas. Of course, the Wolves sometimes play down to their opponents, a la Phoenix Saturday night. But again, this should be a game the Wolves should win. On Christmas Day, it should be definitely a great Christmas present to Wolves fans, and it should not be a very good Christmas present the Timberwolves will give LeVar Ball. It's gonna be funny. It's always fun when the Wolves are, in the national spotlight. Last year was the first year they were on Christmas in 10 plus years, and obviously the NBA keeps recognizing the Wolves are you know, making steps to be a premier team, and you know, honor them with a Christmas Day showing in Los Angeles. It's just a fun when they're playing on Christmas Day. It's fun when they're in the national spotlight. It's an honor that only 10 teams get to have. So, yeah, overall, but just they should be able to beat the Lakers team, who still, you know, boast far too many, you know, young players that aren't quite ready to compete for a playoff spot. I think next year might be the next step for them. I think they might be able to compete next year with Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Julius Randle. But right now, it'll just be interesting to see how the Lakers fare this year and what kind of development they can have with your young guys, and if it's enough to where LeBron James starts thinking about, you know, maybe heading to Los Angeles and, you know, probably trying to team up with another star or two in L.A. If I had to predict, I wouldn't predict LeBron goes to L.A., but always an interesting storyline, and we'll see how it plays out. But the Wolves should be able to beat the Lakers on Christmas Day.
Dan, final one for you. We mentioned Christmas, so it seems fitting that we would incorporate presents into this segment somehow. I am going to allow you an opportunity to unwrap one gift, and this gift is going to help the Timberwolves kind of get back to the team that we expected to see at the beginning of the season. It can be a player, it can be a philosophy, it can be a scheme, it can be whatever you want it to be, but if you had one present to open up to make this Timberwolves team a top contender, give me maybe one thing that you would give them.
Defensive dust. Defensive magic dust. Thibs dust. That would be my Christmas present. The Wolves have a top five, top six offense in the NBA, and I couldn't, you know, they would be sitting very well. They might, you know, be a top three team in the West if they played at a top five, top ten defensive rate. If Thibs had the Wolves playing like he had the Bulls playing in Chicago defensively, they would be phenomenal, and that a lot of questions would, erase from Thibs' coaching tenure in Minnesota. And the Wolves would be in a great position. Obviously, if you're a premier team offensively and defensively, you're going to be a premier team in the NBA. And right now, the Wolves are just premier offensively, and the defense is coming along. But that's kind of where we sit now, and that definitely would be that'd be a good Christmas present. That's for sure.
That's an amazing pick. I think I would do something exactly along those lines for this Wolves team. So we'll see. Maybe Santa will drop something off at the Target Center that will give the Timberwolves more of a defensive toughness in 2018. Regardless of how that turns out, we'll see how things go down over the next handful of games. And Dan, we'll see where the Timberwolves are at in 2018, but until then, have a great Christmas, and we'll catch up with you again in 2018 and see how the Wolves are doing.
Hey, thanks, Seth. Have a good one.
You're listening to The Scoop.
Whoa, I don't play defense.
On KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Missed today's episode of The Scoop? Find each and every episode on myklgr.com under the Sports tab.
All aboard!
And he gone.
I.
And we'll see you tomorrow night.
We'll be right back.
that does it for today's edition of The Scoop, and that does it for 2017 for The Scoop. Yes, a lengthy break, but we'll be back and better than ever starting up January 2nd here on KLGR. So enjoy the holidays, enjoy the new year, and I'll leave you with a bold prediction that you can take for the Vikings. The last two games, Vikings going to run the table. They'll finish the year 13-3. Philadelphia will fall to the number two seed. I leave you with that. We'll see if I'm correct when we come back, but I have a feeling the Vikings will be the number one seed in the NFC playoffs, and that's trouble for everybody else that has to come into U.S. Bank Stadium. So we'll see if I'm right. But until 2018, this has been another edition of The Scoop. We'll catch you later.
KLGR 1490 AM and 95.9 FM is radio you can depend on. KLGR Redwood Falls, K240 DJ Redwood Falls. Streaming online at myklgr.com and the TuneIn Radio app.